For many of us, being held responsible is equal to getting caught. A friend who returns each year to his native Italy told me, with a twinkle in his eye, of a dinner out with his family. When the bill came, my friend's father, who is fastidious, examined each scribbled item. After some study, he deciphered the last entry and recognized it to be a short expression that translates, roughly, "If it goes, it goes." He called the waiter and asked, "What is this item?" The waiter shrugged. "It didn't go." Most of us feel that if a clerk gives too much change and we take it, our life has been affected only to the extent that we have come into an unexpected gain. In fact, each of our acts affects us in far-reaching ways. Every action, thought, and feeling is motivated by an intention, and that intention is a cause that exists as one with an effect. If we participate in the cause, it is not possible for us not to participate in the effect. In this most profound way, we are held responsible for our every action, thought, and feeling, which is to say, for our every intention. We ourselves shall partake of the fruit of our every intention. It is, therefore, wise for us to become aware of the many intentions that inform our experience, to sort out which intentions produce which effects, and to choose our intentions according to the effects that we desire to produce. This is the way that we learned about physical reality as children, and that we refine our knowledge of it as adults. We learn the effects of crying when we are hungry, and we repeat the cause that brings us the effect that we desire. We learn the effect of putting a finger in a light socket, and we do not repeat the cause that produces that effect. We also learn about intentions and their effects through our experiences in physical reality. But learning that intentions produce specific effects, and what those effects are, proceeds slowly when our learning must be done solely through the density of physical matter. Anger, for example, causes distance and hostile interactions. If we must learn this solely through physical experience, we may have to experience 10, or 50, or 150 circumstances of distance from another and hostile interaction before we come to understand that it is the orientation of anger on our part, the intention of hostility and distance, and not this particular action or that, which produces the effect that we do not want. This is predominantly the way that five-sensory humans learn. The relationship of cause and effect within the domain of physical objects and phenomena reflects a dynamic that is not limited to physical reality. This is the dynamic of karma. Everything in the physical world, including each of us, is a small part of dynamics that are more extensive than a five-sensory human can perceive. The love, fear, compassion, and anger that you experience, for example, are only a small part of the love, fear, compassion, and anger of a larger energy system that you do not see.